Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you so much, God, for giving us this time together. We thank you, Father, that you've allowed us to get here safe. I pray for everyone that's traveling over these holidays that they're having a great time, Father, wherever they're at, worshiping you. I pray, Father, you bring them home safely. But, Father, for those who are here, I pray, God, we hear your message. Father, that we don't just hear it, but we put it into practice. I pray, Father, that these words will not fall on ears that are not willing to change on a daily basis. Father, if anyone here is visiting, may they hear your very words and their hearts be stirred to change and to develop a relationship with you. I pray for our children, God, who might not totally be into you right now. Father, I beg you that you will reach out to them, Father. As you already have, I pray, Father, they will see through their parents' life and even despite their parents' life and our shortcomings, that they will come to you. Father, you are the example. Sometimes we're the example of messing things up. But Father, help us as parents to be the examples of repentance and humility. God, I thank you for your church. I thank you for the kingdom of God. I thank you that you allow us to be here. And most of all, I thank you for you. I pray, God, you give us ears to hear and hearts to put into practice. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, good morning. I hope everyone enjoyed their Christmas holiday. Some of us have added a little bit of weight to ourselves, I'm sure. And our wallets might be just a little bit lighter, but that's okay. All for the chillins. Yes, I said chillins, not children. Because that's what we do with them. We chillin' with them. There's a special couple in here that I believe had an extra special Christmas. Why are y'all screaming? Huh? You didn't even let me say it yet. Dina and Malachi, if you guys could stand up, please. These guys were engaged this past Monday to be married. Amen? You too can get married in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's encourage these guys. Well, okay, well, Christmas came and went. Hey, Noah. Christmas has come and went. Are the kids sad? You guys aren't sad, right? You had a good Christmas? You had a good Christmas, Perry? Awesome. Good, I'm glad. 2014 is on the way out. 2015 is about here. 3 days to go, right? But don't be so quick to get rid of your 2014. You ain't done with it yet. I believe that there are lessons that God has been trying to teach you in 2014, and me as well, that I simply haven't gotten yet. You know, the thing about God, when he teaches us lessons, he won't move forward in his lesson plan for our lives until we get it. Have you learned all the lessons that God wanted you to learn in 2014? Have you even begun to sit down and think about this last year? This is a great time of year, isn't it? Not only just for Christmas, not only because of the new year, but because it's a natural time that we can sit down and reflect on the lessons God is teaching us right now and through this past year. The title of my lesson is A Learner's Heart. You know, being a disciple is about cultivating and keeping a learner's heart. Would your best friends call you a learner? Would they say that you're a person who eagerly wants to learn what God has put on his heart to teach you and the heart of others around you? That's a very important question. Sometimes we could be stuck in our own thinking no matter how old we are. I want you to hear that. You know, the youth, they're usually, you know, a lot of times we look at the very young as, man, they're stubborn. They don't want to get it. Well, at 41, I could be pretty stubborn myself. And I think it's time for us to get humble before the Lord. We can't step into 2015 with the same heart. We cannot step into the new year with an attitude of, I already know that. that stuff you think you know, why don't you ask somebody? Because you think you know, you might not know. Think about that for a second. It might take you a minute to get there. We need to be learning on a daily basis. But again, this time of year, it's just natural for us to say, okay, let's reflect. Now, that's one thing that youth aren't really known for, is it? Sitting back, teens, and stopping and thinking. What did I learn this year? I challenge you guys to stop and think. God has been trying to teach you something all year long. Abigail Adams wrote or said, learning is not attained by chance. It must be sought for with ardor and attended to with diligence. She was the first lady of the United States. A Chinese proverb says, learning is a treasure that will follow its owner everywhere. Are you a learner? Aristotle said, for the things we have to learn before we could do them, we learn by doing them. You know, there are many, many, many things that we did last year, right? Some of them were successful, some of them not so much. A lot of times you learn more through your failures than you do through your success. Is that natural thinking, though? Do you sit back and say, okay, how did I mess that up? How can I learn from that? No, a lot of times we just want to run from our mistakes. We don't even want to be in the same room with things that remind us of failures. That's not having a learner's heart. Let's not waste a full year of experiences. God did not give us breath every day just so that you will enjoy life. I hope you heard that. Life is not only to be enjoyed. Life is meant to be learned from. You know, the term disciple in the Greek is mathetes, which refers generally to any student, pupil, apprentice, or adherent, as opposed to a teacher. So a disciple, by its very nature, is a student. It's a person who adheres to the teacher's lessons. As a disciple, who's our teacher? That's pretty easy, right? That's pretty easy. You know, as disciples, we're always to be learning from him, but he also puts people in our lives to learn from. Are you a person who could be characterized as a learner? This morning, I want to do a topical study from the book of Proverbs, on the topic of having a learner's heart. This is not an exhaustive lesson, by no means. So take your lessons, if you're wise enough to take them, and go home and have your own study. You know, preaching and teaching, all this stuff that comes from the stage, is supposed to just set the table for you. Amen? You're supposed to go home and dig through it and really learn what God would have for you. I'm going to shoot probably like 15 scriptures at you. You're not going to have enough time to go through it all right now, but you do in the next couple of weeks, right? Look over in Proverbs 15. Some of them I'm just going to read to you. Some of them I want you to turn to. But let's just get our fingers moving. Proverbs 15:22. Oh, that's nice fun. I like that. That's awesome. Thank you, Larry. Good job, bro. Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Okay, we're not going to stop at every scripture. We're going to stop at a couple. Well, more than a couple, because we have the building until about 1. So I think we're good. What are you laughing for? Proverbs 15:22, it says, plans fail for lack of counsel. Have you had any plans in 2014 that failed because you didn't get advice? Now, let's keep it real. Advice is just that, right? It's not a command. It's not you don't have to do it. But I don't know about you. My practice about advice is if it's not unrighteous and it ain't totally crazy, I'm going to do it. When me and my wife were dating, we were advised not to be in the same car together. Because as we were going further and further into our dating relationship, temptation started creeping in. So we were told, you know, don't even be in a car alone together. And that, in New York, put us in a very weird situation sometimes because it would take her 15 minutes to get someplace. It'd take me an hour and 15 to get there on the train and the bus. But you know what? We followed the advice. Why? Because it was righteous and it wasn't crazy. Now, were we free to say, no, we're not going to do that? Absolutely. Yes, there is freedom in Christ. But you're also free to really mess your life up, too. And people take that freedom every day, don't they? Why does God talk so much about wisdom? Because this world is full of folly. The Bible says that folly is built up in the heart of a child. I'm 41. I'm very childlike. Not just in that I like, you know, superheroes and all that kind of stuff, but I'm childlike. Stop laughing at me. I'm childlike in that I could have folly in my life. I could be very stubborn sometimes. I know I'm not talking to the only me in this room, am I? God wants us to learn from the scriptures. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Now, when you go to your many advisors, make sure they're not your best friends all the time. Sometimes we like to go have people scratch our itching ears, don't we? Hey, I want to do this. What do you think? Hey, man, I think you should go ahead. They haven't read their Bible in 3 weeks. What they know about the heart of God or the will of God for your life? Now, the scriptures talk about that a donkey spoke the words of God one time. So anybody could give you advice. But let me ask you a question. Are you going to go to my son, Mark, who is 13 years old, about marriage advice? Now, he probably could tell you some stuff that he's seen his daddy do wrong, and that might be okay. But does he have the experience? No! You're not married, right? Okay, thanks. That's tricky. You never know. You go to people who... Steve Collier has incredible kids. He really does. I love his kids very much, and you know, they have lived... And they have grown up to be very righteous young adults. I've gone to Steve and Barb for parenting advice several times. Why? Because they've done it successfully. Now, does it mean that if you don't have a kid who's a believer that you can't advise? Of course you can. And you can give advice from a different perspective. But I am not going to go to a person in the world who doesn't know Jesus about parenting advice. That just don't make sense to me. But you go do you. Let's take notes at the end of our lives and see what happens. The Bible is clear. Many advisors, our plans will be successful. Proverbs 20:18 says, make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance. We are not warmongers. We probably wouldn't know how to do that if we had to, right? Well, there's many things that we go through in life on a daily basis that it's the first time that we're experiencing that. Do you stop and pick up your cell phone and get off of Candy Crush and all the other stupid games that are out there and take the moment? Oh, I'm sorry. I just offended somebody. But there's silly games that are out there that are wasting our time, and call somebody and say, hey, this just happened to me. What would you do? Do you have people in your life that you want to go to because you look at their life and say, man, your life is pretty good. I've seen the way your kids act, and you haven't killed them yet. I want to imitate you. How do you do that? Or, you know, a single person that got some money in their pocket. That's rare, isn't it? Hey, how you got money? Because I don't spend it. Hey, there you go. I like that. Proverbs 24:6. For waging war, you need guidance. And for victory, many advisors. Okay, there's a lot of wisdom right there, right? He says, for waging war, you need guidance. And for victory... Do you want to just go to war, or do you want to win? I want to finish this life on the right side. I want to be in this life on the right side with God. Because if I'm not with God waging his war on his side, victory is sure not going to be with me. Guys, we just came out of the holiday season. Everybody's a little sleepy and droopy spiritually, right? Well, some people. I can't say everybody. If that's where you are, repent. Repent. We're not out in the mall right now. Praise God. We are in here. It's not raining in here. Man, let's get excited about the word of God. Look over in Proverbs 12. Oh, man, look at this one. Proverbs 12:15. God uses some strong language in his Bible, doesn't he? He don't mince words. He uses words. We told our children, don't say that.
Don't say stupid. God used it. Don't call nobody a fool. God called people a fool. But see, when God calls you a fool, you a fool. When he say you stupid, you stupid. When we do it, sometimes we're just mad, right? Check out what God says here. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Would your friends call you a wise man or woman? Do you go to people and they're like, why are you asking about that? You've been doing this, that, or the other for many years. They should be asking you that. Why? Because even when you think you know, you should be getting advice about it. Because there might be a nuance of it that might be new in your life that you haven't seen before. And they've been through it, and they can help you through it. Amen? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Okay, we're all going to die, right? Probably. Unless Jesus comes back and takes some of us. Well, I don't know how guaranteed that is. But it says right here that there's a way that seems right to a man, but it in the end leads to death. Guys, I'm not telling you to ask somebody, you know, should you have chocolate or strawberry milk? Pepsi or Coke? You know, Jordans or Adidas? I don't know. Whatever you want to do. That answer is very clear, though. But but there are things to ask about. Very important questions. And I'm sure Malachi got a lot of advice about how to go about it, about when to go about getting engaged. I'm sure Dina got advice to say yes or to say no. I'm serious. I know my wife did. That's a lifelong commitment, right? In the kingdom of God, there's no backing out of a marriage. Now, God has two different ways, and this is not a class about that, so I'm not going to go into that. But you know what? If you're disciples, it's for life. We need to get advice. Look over in Proverbs 9. Remember, this lesson is called A Learner's Heart. So it's about our heart. Let's check out what our hearts need to be like. Proverbs 9, 7 through 9. Verse 7 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. Do you hear the heart behind that? What do you do with a mocker? If you correct them, you're inviting insults. So let me ask you a question. Brothers, are other brothers in your life trying to help you with stuff? Or does no one say anything to you about what you're doing wrong? That's a scary place to be. Because if no one feels comfortable enough with you to tell you what they see wrong in your character, you're in trouble. Because guess what? You're on your own. And you might be on your own because you've pushed people away by the way you responded to being corrected. Now, is that a natural thing? Yes, being defensive is very natural. When you feel somebody's jumping on you and trying to get you, right away you throw the walls up, right? But that's where the scripture says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Recognize why they're coming to talk to you. Recognize that they could have kept it moving and just did one of these to you and let you stay in your sin and didn't invite your mocking. Why would anybody want to be insulted? The lesson here, guys, is the heart to have is a heart of openness. So when someone comes to you with something that you're not very, nope, that's not me. You have to take a pause. Oh, man, it's hard. It's very hard. It's hard for me, especially being in the public figure of the church. People come to me with suggestions from time to time. And I have to make sure that my heart is right when they come. Because I can have that attitude like, yo, hold on, you don't know me like that. We never even had coffee, man. Come on. Back up. No, my heart needs to be like, help me understand why. Help me understand why you feel that. What did you see in me that led to your comments? I've not always done that to people in this room. There's people that I've been like, look, that hurts too much. I don't even want to address that. But hopefully I've, you know, taken what they've thought, they've said, thought about it, prayed about it, and come back and said, okay, help me understand. Help me understand why you feel these things. It says, do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you, but rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. It's not a personal attack when somebody points out your unrighteousness. People are not, and if they are, that's on them, right? That's their headache. If you come to me trying to knock me down a couple of pegs, praise God, God will deal with you. But if you're coming to me saying, I see this in you and you need to change this, I need to be grateful and love you for that. Because guess what? They didn't have to tell you. They could have let you walk around with that, you know, broccoli in your teeth. How many of us are walking around with stuff that is so obvious to everyone else, but you're scared to tell that person because you're afraid of their response? I don't have that disease. I really don't. I'll let you know what I see. I really will. Why? Because I know that God in Ezekiel 33 says that we need to be watchmen for one another, that God will charge me with your blood, excuse me, if I don't tell you about you. Guess what? He's going to charge you with my blood if you don't tell me about me. Now, guess what? It is up to me, you, or whoever it's told to change. I love that. Back in the day, we used to think that we're supposed to change people. That is a different day. Now, I tell you, and I walk away. Now, I might offer help. I might offer some accountability. But, man, that's between you and Jesus, right? God is not going to judge me if you stay stuck in that stuff. A learner's heart. Are we willing to learn? Are we willing to teach? Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instructions, and in the end you will be wise. Proverbs 13:13. This is deep. Write it down. Proverbs 13:13. He who scorns instructions will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Who are your best friends? Who are the people you always around? Do they have successful lives? And what do you value that success? How do you value that success? Do they got a nice car? Do they got money? All that stuff could be gone very quickly. Do they have a good character? Are they kind? Are they patient? Are they loving? Are they meek? Boy, I used to think meek was weak. When I was a very foolish young man, I would watch those religious movies about Jesus, but I could never follow that guy. I had all that power, and I let them crucify me, please. I would kill them all. I'd turn them all into, like, frogs or something. Make them look crazy. I don't know. I'm just too prideful. But Jesus was meek. He allowed his created to do what they did to him. Meek, humble. Why does God talk so much about wisdom and being learners? Like I said before, because this world is full of folly. Folly is the biblical word for stupid. There's a lot of stupid going out there. You go to the mall, there's stupid everywhere. Stupid's on sale. It's silly, man. People walking around, we had to exchange a gift for my daughter on the day after Christmas. I didn't want to be there. I was like, I know there's going to be so much stupid going on. I don't want to be there. I want to be home. We can control the stupid at home. I can't control the stuff out there. And it was packed at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Why weren't they at work? I was hoping that I'd get in and get out. No, it was crowded. Why? Because people still want to buy stuff. Stupid, we got enough. When is enough enough? People fight over the silliest of things, and sometimes people die over pennies. Folly. This world is full of folly. You know, if we strive to be learners, this world would be a better place. You know, as Michael Jackson saw a man in the mirror? It's so true. Why do you want to preach and teach and do all this kind of stuff, and you're still not changing? We need to look at ourselves. You know, I started looking at this because I was like, okay, why am I going to preach this now? Because I need to become a better learner. I need to reflect on 2014. Last year taught me many things. One, the biggest lesson I learned was depend on God. I preached a sermon a couple months ago named God Alone. And I usually what I preach is stuff I'm also working on, amen? I ain't trying to preach from I'm arrived. Shoot, I have not arrived at all. Look at my sermons, you'll see what I'm working on. Right now, I'm working on creating and captivating and continuing a learner's hearts. You know, obviously, Richard was a huge part of my life. And he was the guy that I primarily learned from. Now I need to learn from a variety of people. And I need to be open with that, open to that. Does that make sense? You do as well. Maybe your disciple partner has moved away. Maybe you've changed the person that you're in that relationship with. Are you being open with that person? Are you allowing anything to hinder that relationship? So many times we think of people as people, but God is using people to speak for him on behalf of him. Now, if your disciple partner or the person helping you is not using the scriptures, run. Help them. Say, you know what? I appreciate all your wisdom. Can you show me a scripture on that? And I'm not saying to do that in an unrighteous way. But in the kingdom of God, we should have our Bibles wide open. Amen. Would you say that you are a learner in 2014? If no, that's okay. If you repent. If you go into 2015 saying, I got that, you probably missed this lesson. I think they're recording it. Maybe go back over it again. We need to be open to be learners. Humility. We need to be humble. You know, humility to me is someone who does something great and they know they're great at it, but they still ask if they did it well. I know great speakers that after they speak, they ask, how was that? Was there anything I could change? I'm talking about guys that are doing it 20, 30 years. You would think that, man, they're good. They can just get up there, do what they do, and that's it. No. Every time that we do something, we should be asking for feedback, for input. If you've done the communion message 15,000 times, so what? Ask, how was it? Could I have changed anything? If you did the welcome, if you did this, I need to ask the elders and other brothers and sisters, how was this morning? Was it communicated right? Now, I'm not saying this about semantics or whatever. We want to get better. Why? Because we do this for God, not for ourselves. You don't get an extra, you know, pork chop in heaven because you did something right. You just get in the door if you remain with Christ. You know, there's some of you this morning that have been around the church for a very long time. It is time to get off the fence. That's not in my notes. So I know it's from God. It is time to stop fronting. It's time to stop being wishy-washy. It's time to commit. It is only with God or not with God. There's no gray area. This area does not exist. So you're either with God or you're not with God. In 2015, where are you committing to be? Disciples, are we also committing to be disciples, sold out, ready to go, disciples in 2015? Or do we need to be prodded to have our quiet times? Are you praying? How's your purity? Blah, 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 blah. We need Jesus. If you need somebody to say, did you read your Bible today? You are far gone. I'm just saying. Hey, we all go through our times of struggle. But guys, there's a time when we have to say, you know what? I'm tired of this struggle. I want to be strong. I want to have a great relationship with God. It's not about being super soldier disciple. It's about having a great relationship with Jesus. Why? It's because of the Father's heart. Turn over to Proverbs 4. We're going to read all of Proverbs 4. Because these are the words of a father to his sons. As you read this, as we read this together, I want you to hear the pleading of a father to his children. It says, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teachings. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the ways of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instructions. Do not let go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and go on your own way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I have to say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. How incredible is that? Can you not hear the pleading of a father to his children? Saying, please, consider what you're doing. Please, seek after wisdom. Please, wake up. He's just pleading with them. I believe what the father is trying to teach his son at all costs is to have the heart of a learner. When you have a heart of a learner, your life goes well. It says it right here in the book. If you're going through some stuff right now, stop and think for a second. Who caused the stuff that you're going through right now? Stop blaming the devil. We give him way too much power, don't we? Oh, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You wanted to do it anyway. Oh, the devil caused that. No, you haven't changed your oil in 6 months. The devil didn't break your car. You did. My bank account is empty because you spent the money. You didn't have any checks that came back. The devil. They didn't sign it, right? Just silliness, man. We grown adults blaming the devil on everything when a lot of times it's just us and our evil desires. And we're not learners. We're not humble. We don't ask. Hey, I got this car. I got this. I got that. Should I get another car loan? Really? That's not even wisdom. You can see that stupid up a block away. Let's do the math. You make $1,000 a week. You're already paying out $950. I'm going to add a $400 car note. I wonder if I'm going to be in trouble. Really? The desire of your heart, you want that new car. We already established we like new, don't we? But can your pocket afford what you want? Sometimes it's just you need somebody else to tell you, right? Sometimes you need somebody else to look at you like, huh? Let's look at your checkbook.
What checkbook?
Problem number one. There might be an indication there's a problem. Listen, my sons, to our father's instruction. Are you in the book? Are you, man, guys, this is like discipleship 01. You know what I'm saying? It's not even 101. This is like before you even pass. Are you in the book? Are you getting the instruction? Because when you're getting the instruction, you got to do one or two things with it, right? Do it or don't do it. Are you even in the game to make that discussion? I mean, that decision. Are you in the book? Are you getting your father's instruction? He says, pay attention and gain understanding. Do not forsake my wisdom. And I love the way the father here said, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. God is always just trying to relate to us, isn't he? God is always trying to say, you think that I can't relate to you? Well, that's why Jesus came to the world. That's why I allowed my own to become flesh, to walk among you for 33 years, to experience everything you've experienced, so you are without excuse. We all this morning are without excuse. Are you ready for 2015? You know, I really pray that we take some time. I know we're busy. Man, busy is like the devil's instrument. There he goes again, the devil, right? But he is. The devil's very busy. You know, what we're doing for New Year's. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to stay home. There's too many stupid people out there driving drunk to mess with. And plus, we could pray together when the new year comes in. That's what I want to do. I got to talk to the rest of the family, but that's probably what we're going to do. What you going to do? Wherever you are you going to take time to pull away and pray to your God that allowed you to see 2015? There are people from our congregation that didn't make it to 2015. Let us not forget them. Let us not forget them. We were praying in the car on the way to church today, and we were talking about, you know, when we see 2015 in a couple of days, then we had to stop and say, God willing. Tomorrow's not promised to none of us. There have been healthy people that just flat out, you know, just drop dead. Because you know what? When it's your time, you can't turn around to God and say, not yet. Yeah, really? Come here, boy. He's going to snatch you up when he wants to snatch you up. Take some time and ask God today. God, what do you want me to learn? What else do you need me to understand from 2014? Let's not throw away 2014 just yet. There are so many lessons still chock full. So when we enter 2015, that we can actually have that learner's heart. Amen? God bless you.
Let's pray, please. Thanks, John. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for bringing us here today. Thank you so much for all your powers. Thank you for your willingness, God, to work with us through all our difficulties, God. Thank you so much for John for the lessons that he taught to us today about being a learner's heart. I pray, God, we'll take it to heart. We will listen. We'll meditate. We'll work on it. And we'll repent, God. We thank you so much, God, for how much you love us by giving us so many lessons. So many people can come and talk to us, God. We're so grateful for that. Please watch over us and protect us as we go home. Help us to get home safely, God. Please be with us through all these difficulties as the 2015 comes around. Help us, God, to really focus on you. Through your son, we pray, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed.